So let's start by imagining the Buddha, because however historical we intend to be, the act of engaging with the historical Buddha is an act of imagination. Let's imagine the Buddha not as this archetypal figure that we see before us, and not as a glowing figure in resplendent robes, because we've got no reason to think that he actually looked like that. So what would he have looked like? Well, he would have been Indian, for a start, or maybe Northern Indian, you know, pale skin perhaps. The robes that the Buddha seems to have worn weren't wonderful silk or saffron or anything like that. They were gathered from, scavenged from cremation grounds, discarded bits of rag, sewn very roughly together, made out of hemp. His face would almost certainly have been wizened. And in fact, in one of the best-known suttas of the texts that we have, Ananda, his companion, says, "It's amazing. You used to look really great. But now you've got all these wrinkles on your face." So as he got older, he looked older. The Buddha and monks only shaved once a month, so he probably had considerable amount of beard and a fair bit of hair on top, should he be so lucky. And his skin would have been darkened. And this was actually quite an issue in the Buddhist society, because the rich people, the Brahmins and so on, stayed indoors. But the workers, the Shudras and the people who became outcasts, they were out in the fields, so their skin became dark. Now, the Buddha was walking the roads, so he'd have had dark skin, you know, more darker than average, weather-beaten, and he was probably pretty fit because he did so much walking. Now, as well as that, we read that he had a kind of an aura, a kind of effect, that people who met him felt they walked into this force field of loving kindness. Certainly, not everyone felt that, but some people did, and they felt a powerful presence. And this presence that he had is often associated with the natural world. So it's said that when he spoke, it was as if he was expressing himself like a lion's roar. And he's sometimes compared to an elephant or a tiger. So there's something dangerous in his presence. There's something that speaks of the wild. But, perhaps I should add, the wild that's been tamed, the wild that's been brought under control. So that's, in a way, a starting point for looking at, well, what is this connection between the Buddha and the natural world? Which, of course, we don't have if we imagine him in a clear blue sky.